The North Pole Podcast is brought to you by SantaUpdate.com.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of the North Pole Podcast. I'm Elf Frank Murr of North Pole Radio News. And I'm joined by my radio partner, Elf Crash Murphy, in our annual episode of Questions and Answers from School Teachers. For the past week or more, we have been fielding questions from teachers who, we assume, have been gathering those questions from their classrooms. This is a traditional episode for us, and they tend to be among the more popular episodes of this podcast that we do each year. Crash, are you ready to go?
Yeah, Frank, let's do it. I just love doing this episode. I never know in advance what the questions are, and I kind of like the surprise they sometimes bring.
I'm glad you said that, Crash, because this first question is a doozy. It comes from a site visitor who I don't believe is a teacher, but he calls himself Elf HB, and he asks, is there a mermaid radio station from under the sea owned by real mermaids?
What?
You heard me. That's from a guy calling himself an elf.
A mermaid radio station. Real mermaids. We're the North Pole, Frank. We don't do mermaids here. I don't know if mermaids are real, and if they are, what in the name of Marconi would they be doing with the radio station? Tell me we've got better questions than this, Frank.
Easy there, Captain. It's just a question, but it brings up a good point. We've been doing this for many years, and you personally have answered maybe thousands of random questions about Christmas, Santa, the North Pole, sleigh flight, reindeer, and all things about elf life. But this one seems to be a little out of bounds.
Out of bounds, Frank? It's Looney Tunes. Elf HB needs to have his pointy head examined, Frank. If he's an elf, he should know better not to waste people's time like this. Why are you allowing that kind of question to be asked?
Well, I'm just pulling the questions out of a hat, Crash. I want things to be spontaneous from you in this episode.
Yeah, but you decide if those questions go in the hat in the first place. Why did you even allow that question, Frank?
Well, to have this very discussion, Crash. We get a lot of crazy questions, but we need our site visitors and listeners to keep the questions on topic. We get everything from silliness like this about mermaids to homework questions like answers to mathematical equations and questions on history quizzes. And we're not an answering service for all things out there, just Santa, the North Pole, Operation Merry Christmas, and all of that.
I say, Frank, I mean, I'd like to help people, but there's a time and a place for stuff. I wasn't a great student in school, if you want to know the truth. Well, I can't help with things like mermaids and vampires and equations and stuff like that, but I know Santa. I like questions about him. You got anything for us about Santa, or is this going to be a really short episode?
We have lots of questions in the hat, Crash, and I promise they only go up from here. Okay, here's one from Mrs. Henley's third grade class somewhere in Sector 5. She says she teaches mostly 8-year-olds, and they have a hard time understanding time zones. She wants to know, how does she teach them in a way that will help them to understand time zones?
Okay, now that's a good question. And if I was smart enough to be a teacher, I'd use a basketball to teach time zones.
A basketball? Why?
Yeah, because it's round and it has lines on it that kind of look like time zones.
Okay, what would you do with the basketball?
Well, I'd take a marker and just put a time in each section starting at 1 o'clock, Frank.
I don't think there's enough sections on a basketball to cover every hour on the clock, Crash.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Just put a time in each section, as many as you can, and then turn off the lights.
Turn off the lights? Why? Who's going to be able to read what you just put on the basketball?
Work with me here, Frank. I know you have a brain.
Okay, so the lights are off. Now what?
Now you turn on a flashlight and shine it on the basketball.
Oh, I see.
Right, and they will too. The flashlight represents the sun, and it can shine up that basketball pretty good, at least on one side of it. The other side, no matter how they spin the ball, is always going to be in the dark. That shows you why we have time zones, Frank. The sun can only reach part of our Earth, you know, one little place at a time.
So while it is daytime on one part of the ball, or that globe, it is nighttime on the other.
Right, they're in a different time zone. Now, if you take a look at 1 o'clock on the ball, you'll see another time on the opposite side of the ball. It'll be 10 o'clock or something. But it doesn't matter. It's in a different spot, so it's a different time. This is how I like to answer this question, which comes up all the time, Frank. I always carry a basketball and a flashlight with me when I get to meet with kids in classrooms.
Do you think Mrs. Henley and other teachers should have a unit for 8-year-olds for time zones?
Oh, heck yeah, Frank. 8-year-olds are brilliant, and they want to know things, and they want to understand this stuff. The sooner they get this, the sooner they understand about a lot of other things. This isn't just tracking Santa Claus. It's science and math, Frank, and it's geography. And third graders can handle this, Frank. I see it all the time.
Excellent, Crash. You see, we've recovered from mermaids already.
Yeah, mermaids have no clue what time it is because the sun don't shine in their world, Frank, which is probably why they don't listen to the radio either. They got water in their ears, right?
Whatever, Crash. Our next question comes from Mr. Jensen's 12th grade class in Iowa, also in Sector 5.
Wow, high schoolers. This could be interesting.
It is, Crash, but this is more of a philosophical question, and I know we've talked about this before. They want to know if Santa gets a filled stocking from Santa.
Oh, yeah, we've, you know, had this question before, and it's always kind of one of those questions that freaks people out.
I know.
Santa does get a visit from Santa, a full stocking, presents under the tree, a visit to the house where he eats his own cookies, and sometimes he even answers his own letter.
Wait, this is a new wrinkle on this. Santa writes letters to Santa?
Well, yeah, Frank, what's wrong with that? He's a believer, too.
But why does he have to write a letter to himself?
He doesn't have to, he just does. I'm not sure if he does it every year, but I have it on good authority that he does it.
He does? Why?
Well, let's just say there's some things Mrs. Claus won't get him and doesn't want him to have.
You're kidding.
No, I'm dead serious, and Santa knows it. So like any self-respecting believer out there, when you want something for Christmas, you send in a wish list for Santa Claus.
Has Santa ever received anything for Christmas that Mrs. Claus didn't want him to have?
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
Well, there was the year he got all those fireworks for Christmas.
You mean the ones he lit off on New Year's Eve that looked like the 4th of July in the Claus' backyard?
Those are exactly the ones, Frank. Now, can you see why Mrs. Claus didn't want Santa to have those? He blew up her hydrangeas, Frank, and she's not very happy with him because of that.
So, Santa asked Santa for fireworks, even though he knew Mrs. Claus didn't approve. Isn't there a policy about Santa not getting you something your parents think you shouldn't have?
Well, Mrs. Claus is not his mother. Besides, Santa claims he had the permission from the homeowner in that case to get and to use the fireworks.
Oh, man, this has to be something Santa and Mrs. Claus discussed later, right?
Oh, I think they're still talking about it, Frank.
Uh-huh. So Santa is Santa to Santa. I think that answers the question, but at the same time, I think it raised a couple thousand more questions.
I don't think we go there, Frank. Let's just say that Santa doesn't skip Christmas and he has a lot of fun every year.
Mrs. Claus must have a terrible time knowing what to get Santa for Christmas.
She does, and knowing that Santa might bring Santa something she never would is not the first time in history of married people where this has happened, Frank. I will say that in Santa's defense.
Okay, good enough. We'll let that rest right there and advise Mr. Jensen's 12th graders to stay away from the mysteries.
It's all good, Frank. I like people who ask the hard questions.
Well, good, because here comes a hard one. Mrs. Melendez, a teacher in Mexico City, doesn't say what grade she teaches, but her class decided the most important question they could ask was this. What makes reindeer fly? That's another old and common question.
Yeah, it is, and it's not hard to answer that one anymore, Frank. I heard Santa give the perfect answer to this question when he had Blitzen with him once on a public visit in Berlin many years ago.
So how does Santa answer this question?
He says, I don't know.
Wait, what? Santa doesn't know what makes reindeer fly?
That's what he said, Frank. He said the reindeer fly because they want to. Nobody, not even Santa, can make them fly. And by the way, scientists and biologists and other professionals in Switzerland, of all places, have been working on this for decades, Frank. they want to use reindeer for commercial air travel, Frank, because they believe they're more climate-friendly than traditional modes of air transportation.
Well, they might be right about that.
No, they aren't, Frank. I travel behind reindeer all the time, and let me tell you, they are not emission-free, Frank, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before, but don't you think scientists will ever make reindeer fly on their own, Crash?
Not a chance, Frank. Santa says most of the science out in the world these days couldn't find their way out of a paper bag.
Really? I thought Santa had a lot of respect for science.
Well, he does, Frank, but it's those who want to use science for something other than money, like to heal people or to grow food or good things to help the world. Those are the scientists that Santa likes. He's very much against using reindeer for labor or for making money. He doesn't want to see them become used like that. Reindeer serve Santa, and together with him, they serve the world. That's why they do what they do, Frank. But Santa wants to protect them and make sure that they're the only, you know, that they're only used for good and right things.
So, if Santa did know how reindeer fly, he probably wouldn't tell anyone?
Oh, I think you could take that to the bank, Frank. Santa has some secrets he would never tell a soul.
Well, then, let's see if you'll answer this question. And I know you know the answer to this one. It's along the lines of secrets and mysteries.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
I feel like I'm on a game show here, Frank.
Well, there's no prize for this, Crash. This question comes from Mr. Reynolds' class. Again, no grade level or age group given. But there's someone in the, somewhere in the UK, Kent, I think he said. Anyway, he says, I don't believe in Santa Claus, and I don't believe my students should either.
Oh, boy.
Wait, it gets worse.
Oh, goody.
He asks, when is the North Pole going to just come out and say it, that Santa Claus is from the imagination of parents to get children to behave?
Well, Frank, the North Pole's never going to say that. This rumor's been going around for centuries in many countries and cultures. I'm guessing Mr. Reynolds is an academic who has studied history with a minor in dummery.
Crash, don't go there. We can't go around calling teachers dummies.
We can't? I do it all the time, Frank. I did it in school. In fact, it was because of dummies like Mr. Reynolds that I had a tough time in school. I can handle a teacher who was honest and said, I don't know, to a question. But a teacher who asserts his own opinion as truth and that there can't be any more than one right way to do something is no teacher at all, Frank.
So how do you answer Mr. Reynolds?
Like I do any other mocker of Santa Claus, Frank.
And that is?
That there's more proof for Santa than against Santa. Millions believe him, billions track him, and he's the most visible person on the planet for two solid months each year, Frank. He's everywhere. They talk about him on the news and songs and movies, and literally billions of people dating back hundreds of years testify Santa's come to their homes. Mr. Reynolds is telling those billions of people that they're fools, that they're dummies. Besides, what kind of parent could pull off what Santa does?
Oh, I was waiting for you to bring that up.
You were? Why, Frank?
Because I have kind of a similar question from another teacher that asks about parents. This teacher, Shannon Welch, that's her name, who teaches sixth grade, she says, somewhere in Idaho, that would be Sector 5, she claims she is a believer, but that her class overwhelmingly believes parents have something to do with Santa and Christmas. And like Mr. Reynolds, she wants the North Pole to address it.
Well, okay, there's nothing wrong with honesty, Frank. We believe in that. And the truth is that parents have a lot to do with Santa and Christmas.
They do?
Well, yeah, we just mentioned that policy about Santa not bringing things that parents don't want their children to have.
Yeah, we did.
Well, how do you think that happens, Frank? I know it doesn't just get talked about a lot, and maybe there's a good reason for that, but it's no big secret.
What's no big secret?
Well, the parents are some of the best elves that Santa has.
Whoa, really? This is kind of breaking new ground here.
No, it's not, Frank. I've heard Santa talk to children about this very thing when they're sitting right there on his lap. Right around the ages of 7 to 10 to 12 or 14, children will start to really question it all. And they get very blunt with Santa when they visit him, Frank.
And Santa gets very blunt in return.
Well, he does. Santa doesn't like liars, Frank, and he doesn't want to be accused of lying either. He's a very honest man. So Santa isn't afraid to answer a question like this. Plus, Santa knows a thing or two about adults that most children never really think about.
And what's that?
Well, that each parent is a former child. When they were kids, they hung up their stockings, they wrote letters to Santa, they stayed up on Christmas Eve. Guess what? On that one night of the year, they become kids again and do it all over just as when they were children. Most parents love Santa, and they love to work with Santa to bring their children a magical and merry Christmas.
So it's okay to say that parents are in cahoots with Santa Claus?
It's totally okay, Frank. In fact, the sooner parents discuss this with their children, the better. After all, they're training their kids to be parents one day, too. It's elf training, Frank.
Well, that's a really thoughtful answer, Crash. Believe it or not, we received more than 4,000 questions in just the past week from teachers. Do you mind if we split this up and take on more questions in our next episode?
Sure, Frank. I love doing this.
Okay, then. We will get this out there for now and ask more folks to send in additional questions in the next few weeks. On behalf of my radio partner, Elf Crash Murphy, who did a fine job in this episode, even if he called a teacher a dummy, I'm Elf Frank Murr of North Pole Radio News, thanking you for listening to this episode of the North Pole Podcast.